Good evening and welcome to Living Hope Baptist Church, Bryan. We are so excited that you're here today. My goodness, I'm loud now. And for our visitors, we just ask that the only thing that you give us today is this one little visitor's card that's in the pew in front of you. If you would just fill this out and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by, that way we have a record of your coming and visiting with us today. We have a couple of announcements. We have a lot of announcements on the back of our worship guide. Okay? And a couple of them I need to hit on real quick. We'll start with church fellowship and potluck. Yes, we are having a church fellowship and church-wide fellowship and potluck tomorrow night at 6 o'clock here at St. Michael's. That is our plan. That is what we've been announcing. That's what we're going to do. What we need y'all to bring is main dishes and either a vegetable or a dessert. We have all the paper goods and drinks taken care of already. So if you bring main dishes and a vegetable and or a dessert. And at tomorrow's potluck, one thing that we're going to do is we are going to share with y'all what's coming up for the summer as we start doing Sunday night services. And so we're going to give you kind of a picture of what's going on in the schedule. Now, one concern that's come up about these, about our potluck tomorrow, is that we won't be able to be at Living Hope College Station tomorrow night for their last Sunday night service. But we're going to be joining with him in just a couple of weeks on Wednesday evening. And so there's already built in several opportunities during the summer for us to get together as three bodies worshiping together as one. And so that's a real exciting thing that we'll share tomorrow night as we talk about the summer schedule. The other thing that I want to talk about for a second is the preteen camp. Preteen camp. Preteen camp, the registration deadline is tomorrow. I know it's come up and it's the end of May already, but the registration deadline is tomorrow. If you're going to send your kids to preteen camp and you have not registered yet, I need you to either get with Dustin, if Dustin's here tonight, or Drew Miller, who's going to be up here talking with the kids in a minute, or with Nicole. And you can get with one of these three people, and they can get you hooked up with a form to fill out to get your child registered for preteen camp. The last thing I want to bring to your attention is at the bottom of the announcements here, there's a typo on the bottom. It says preschool ministry team is meeting on June the 6th. Preschool ministry team's not meeting on June the 6th. Preschool ministry team is meeting on June 13th, which is the second Saturday of the month. On June 6th will be the finance ministry team at 4 o'clock and the children's ministry team at 4 o'clock. Okay, let's go ahead and have a time of worship.
Let's pray. God, thank you again for this evening. Thank you, God, for allowing us to get together, Lord. You are so good to us. I pray as we come to you tonight and we worship you, God, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to worship you with everything that we have and everything that we are, God. Just be here with us tonight, God. Help us to recognize that you're here. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Children. Uh-oh. It's right there. My clip came off. I don't know how long I've been doing this, but I'm still not very good with this thing. There you go. Y'all hear me? Yeah, y'all can scoot in. Y'all make some room. Y'all make some room for everybody. All right. I want to ask y'all a question, all right? What are these things called that I got on right here? Well, yeah, but with this too. Like, what's this all? Clothing,
giant,
right?
You got a giant on?
Huh?
You got a giant on?
I work there. But that's what the shirt says, yeah? And that's part of my clothes. That's right.
Clothing.
So in the morning, when you know, you're getting ready for school and stuff, what do your parents tell you to do?
I don't go to school no more.
They said, put your clothes on, right? Whenever, before we go out the door, we got to put our clothes on, right? Well, another way that we can say that is clothe yourselves. And we're going to read in the Bible real quick, and it's going to tell us to clothe ourselves with something, but it's not clothes. I want y'all to listen to what it tells us to clothe ourselves with. No, it's not clothes. You got to listen, okay? You ready? Here we go. It says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. What are we supposed to clothe ourselves with? It starts with an at humility. What's humility? Can anyone say what humility is? Tell me what humility is. Well, humility, guys, is thinking of others before ourselves. Putting others before ourselves. That's what it means to be humble, guys. And right here, that's what the Bible is telling us to do. That just like you put on clothes in the morning, you're so used to doing that because you do it every day. Well, every day, we're supposed to live in a way where we think of others before ourselves. And why do we do that? Well, hey, I guess it's got the answer in here. I'm going to read it to you, okay? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So that means when we think of only ourselves, and we're real prideful, and we always want what we want, God isn't pleased with that. But He wants us to think of others before we think of ourselves. And who's the best example of that, guys? Who do we have to look to? Jesus, right? Because that's what Jesus did. God put on skin, came down to earth. He could have been in heaven, chilling in heaven, but He put on skin for us to die on the cross for our sins so that we could come into a relationship with God. So that's humility right there, guys. God was thinking of us. All right, when He didn't have to, but He did because He loves us. All right, so I want y'all to remember to think of others. Think of others' interests and their needs before our own, because that's what we're called to do, to put others before ourselves, okay? So let's pray together before we go, okay? Dear Lord, I just thank You for stepping into time and dying for our sins and conquering that sin so we could come into relationship with You and so that we could live for Jesus and not live in bondage to sin. I thank You for that, God. And Lord, You're the perfect example of humility, Jesus, and just teach us to do that, Lord. It's a process, Lord, we have to learn, but I thank You for Your grace in that learning process, God, and I pray that You teach each and every one of us that every day, to think of others before ourselves, and that gives them a perfect picture of Jesus and what He did for us. So just help us as we go from here, and we thank You for who You are and for Your Son, Jesus. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Pray with me. God, we pray that we would see You tonight. We would hear Your words tonight. Lord, that we would have listening ears, hearts ready to change. Help us, Lord, to hide Your word in our hearts tonight. God, prepare our hearts. Prepare it. Make it fertile ground for Your word. Help us to continue worshiping You by listening, by paying attention, God, by being actively involved, Lord, with what You're doing. Help us not to miss what You have for us tonight. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Hello, everybody. Am I on? We're on. Okay. Well, hey, it's great to see y'all. My name is Fernando Aguirre, and thank you, guys. I don't know how fast I'm supposed to start, but I'm not Alan Palermo. My name is Fernando Aguirre. I'm married to Kathy. She's down here. We've been married almost 12 years. Okay. Thank you. So 12 years. We have three girls, Mia, who's almost 7, Isabella, who just turned 5, and Lydia, who is now 2. She's my baby. So they were here, 2 of them earlier, but now they're out there. So that's kind of just a little bit of an introduction there. But as you can see, I will be speaking tonight, And I'm very thankful to Alan recently for asking me to fill in for him tonight, and also to our other elders, Joe and Brian, for letting me share tonight also. So we're going to get started here in just a sec, and we're going to continue the series that they have been speaking, that Alan and Butch have been speaking, out of 1 Peter chapter 5. So you can begin turning there from 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to kind of go right along, just continuing with what they've been sharing already. And last week, the people who spoke, they shared basically it was geared towards the elders and sort of the older people in the church, basically the church leader type people and also elders it mentioned specifically. And the message last week was really geared towards them and encouraging them to shepherd the flock of God, to serve, to be examples, to serve willingly as God wanted them to be, and to know it's, you know, God's flock they're taking care of, basically. So here, this message is going to shift gears. It's going to go a little bit. It's going to talk briefly kind of towards the younger people, the younger generation. And my dad asked me today, I was talking to him on the phone about the message, and he said, well, which one are you, a younger or older? I was like, I think I'm older. But anyway, I told him, I feel like a younger, but I think I'm older. But anyway, this message is going to shift towards the younger, basically, population. And then it's going to go towards some general principles for all of us, everybody here. And then it's going to kind of finish here at the end with some ideas, or not ideas, but some exhortations to cast our cares onto him because he cares for us. That's going to be for everybody too. So we'll get right into it here. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to be in verses 5 through 7. I'm going to read these three verses right now, and then we're going to break down the different verses and talk about some of the different words and what they mean and what all this can mean to us today, tonight, and in our lives. So, 1 Peter 5, 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. As I mentioned, this first part here really is geared towards the younger ones. And this could be, you know, younger in age, but it could also really be newer believers. So younger in the Lord could also be as well. And the specific exhortation there, or injunction to the younger people, is to be submissive to those who are older. Specifically here, in this direct context, it's related towards the elders. It just mentions above that in chapter 5, towards the elders, basically. And it's telling the younger to be submissive to them, okay, the elders in the church or church leadership. But it could also be really applied to younger people in general, okay, being submissive to those who are older and being willing to follow and yield to and even obey at times, if you want to put it that way, too. This word submissive is a military term. And it's the same one that I think Butch was here when he spoke on wives a while back. It's the same word used earlier in 1 Peter for the wives. But this word submissive is submitting yourself to the orders or directives of someone to obey. Submitting yourself to the orders or direction of someone to obey. So this is putting yourself in that position, okay, to where you're ready and you're willing to follow that person. And here, Peter was telling the younger or the newer believers to submit to biblical leadership or those more mature in the faith. Biblical leadership or those more mature in the faith. And I used to hear this phrase a long time ago. I don't hear it anymore. But a phrase about somebody having a chip on their shoulder. Raise your hand if you heard of this phrase. Okay? All the older people like me. Oh, a young person back there. A kid. Okay, good. All right. So having a chip on your shoulder is like, who are you to tell me? You know, it's kind of like you got kind of this edge to you. You know, it's like, oh yeah, like that. It's kind of an attitude, okay, towards authority or towards those who are older or those who are in charge, okay? Those people that are kind of telling people to what to do, kind of running the show, okay? So this is talking about not having a chip on our shoulder, basically, but being willing to follow. And I had a question here about if you find yourself in this category, you're wondering, you know, could that be me? Some of you, you know that might be you, okay? Others, that's really not you. Others, you are younger, but you're following. You are able to follow well. A question, too, to think about for the youngers, if you're, you know, when you're following in a situation, are you doing it from a pure heart, basically? Or are you doing it, you know, you're doing it, you're following, yeah, because you know you're supposed to follow, but you're kind of resenting it or you're kind of having an attitude. So what we're talking about here is not having the attitude, but walking in humility, basically, okay? So we want to make it our goal, the younger people, to learn from the older ones. Make it your goal to learn, okay? If you're a younger person, you're around these older people in the Lord, older people who are following the Lord, they've been tracking with the Lord, find something to learn from them. If they're still standing, still following the Lord, then there's something to be learned. Older people have this thing, it's called endurance. And we need to get some. Because it is hard to live the life in general, this life in general, and the Christian life too. Suffering does come. And it is hard sometimes to stay in the game, to not be bitter, to walk in forgiveness, to keep pursuing the Lord, to keep seeking Him. When hard times come, to cling to Him. There's a verse in this, one of my favorite Psalms that says, "My soul clings to you." I always think of saran wrap. It's in Psalm 63. Says, "My soul clings to you." Okay? Older people who are walking with the Lord, they've learned to cling to Him when it's hard, when you feel like, you know, sort of giving up and letting go and walking on. You feel like running, but to stay in the game, to stay in the spiritual fight. And those are the kind of things you want to learn from these. I had a mentor of mine for several years when I was in Austin. He was 40 years older than me. And I remember he was the oldest friend, you know, I had, and definitely the oldest person following the Lord that I knew too. And I remember thinking, I want to be like him. And I want to be like him when he's his age. You know, at that time he was in his 70s. I think he's probably late 70s now. Yes. And thinking about, I want to be like him when I'm his age, pursuing the Lord with all my heart. There's another verse too. It says, "I will praise you as long as I live." That's where we want to be. We want to be to that where, you know, 20, 30, 40, 60, 80, if we live to be 100, whatever age, that we're praising Him. "I will praise you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands." We want to be praising Him as long as we have breath. But anyway, those are some encouragements for the younger ones among us to be willing to follow, even submit to the elders. Whether it's church leadership or just, you know, somebody around you that's older than you, older in the Lord, okay? And so it's on all of us. I'm going to switch up. Really, I'm like an older person, I guess, in this case, right? It's up to us, too, and this came up in prayer today, the older ones of us to be those examples that can be followed, to be those who are in the game, like I mentioned earlier, and we're persevering, and we are enduring, and even though we get hit, but we keep going with Him, okay? So that's up to us to be that example. The younger people, you're called to be an example too. 1 Peter 4:12. Anyway, it's a whole other message, okay? But for us, the older people, we're going to be the role models, okay? That's a little commercial. All right. Let's move on to the next part here. It says, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another," okay? So if you're confused, you don't know if you're older or younger. You're not a leader. You are. You don't know. Well, you are certainly all of you, okay? If you're hearing my voice, you're all of you. That's for all of us. "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." The point here is to everyone be humble in dealings with one another. Everyone be humble in dealings with one another. And our humility with others is evidence of our humility before God. Or, on the contrast, it could be evidence of a lack of humility before God, too. There's a connection to how we walk with others, how we walk with the people around us, the flesh and blood, brothers and sisters, you know, friends, neighbors, whoever that we see, humble or proud or whatever, there's a connection between this and our relationship with God. There's a direct link there. So we want to learn to be humble with one another. This word, this phrase, "clothe yourselves," I really like what Drew was talking about earlier. Clothe yourselves with this humility is to show or to demonstrate. Show or to demonstrate humility. I also read, it's all of you should dress yourselves with humility toward one another. All of you should dress yourselves, that's all of us, with humility toward one another. And the idea is this. I brought a little visual for you. Ah, perfect. Every morning, like Drew was saying, he's trying to get the kids to think about every morning you decide what you're going to put on, right? Yes, okay. Or maybe not necessarily my little girls, because we usually tell them. But anyway, but generally, you decide what you're going to put on, okay? So right now, I have chosen, voluntary, nobody made me wear this, okay? I chose to put this on as a little demonstration of clothing myself with something. I'm clothing myself with this vest. This vest represents humility. And this vest really does. Usually, if you're wearing this, what are you doing? You're serving. Usually, you're directing traffic. You know, maybe you're a police officer at the scene of a, you know, accident. Maybe you're out there working construction. You're making roads for us to drive down the highway, right? You're serving, okay? So this is just a little representation here by clothing ourselves with humility. Just like I chose to put this on right now, the injunction here that Peter's saying to them, and he's saying to us too, the Lord is saying to us, is to clothe ourselves with humility when we deal with others. It could be anybody. It could be with one another. It could be our spouse, you know, those of us who are married. Those of us who are married, you know, humility is probably a great thing for our marriages, right? We're humble with one another. I thought of a verse earlier during one of the songs, a gentle answer turns away wrath. I think it's Proverbs 15:1. Right? Okay, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but to walk in humility, clothe ourselves with humility. This humility is a humble attitude or modesty without arrogance. Humble attitude, modesty without arrogance. So we want to clothe ourselves with humility when you interact with others. I'm going to take this off. Is that okay? It's okay, right? Okay. I went too loud. All right. I was thinking about putting it here, but I don't know. Maybe I'll put it right here. Bug these guys. Okay. So, humility. We want to clothe ourselves with humility. Put it on throughout the day. And sometimes, too, we might put it on in the morning, maybe, but then later on, there's somebody that comes and, boom, we're about to, you know, feel like that. You know, feel that tension or whatever. Put it back on. It falls off. Put it back on. Okay. All right. The next part here. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You probably have a footnote there about Proverbs 3:34. It looks like Peter was quoting there from Proverbs 3. Okay, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There's a lot of stuff here. This is a divine reason here. It says, clothe yourselves with humility because, it's a divine reason, God opposes the proud. Opposes the proud. This word oppose is really interesting. It means to set oneself against or resist. God opposes the proud, to set oneself against or resist. And a lack of humility results in God being opposed to us. When we're being proud and we're not walking in humility with others, there's kind of a consequence here. It says that God is even opposed to us. And I thought of a couple things to kind of relate this. When I was a little kid, you know, sometimes I'd be like at PE or the playground or whatever, and we were going to pick teams. Well, this was always bad for me. Yeah, this was bad. Because I resembled a French fry with two legs, you know. So this was not good, okay. You know, to this day, when I pick teams, I said, let's just do 1-2-1-2. You know, that's a lot better way to do it, you know. Because I don't want to be last, right? Okay. So I was never the one, you know, picked because I was always small and all this. I was always to the end. And okay. So basically, though, whatever team I was on, the guy I did not want on the other team was that big, strong guy, okay? You know, that big guy looks like, you know, the side of a brick wall or something like that, okay? He's a guy I did not want on the opposite of my team, all right? Well, sometimes in our lives when we are not walking in humility, but we're walking in pride, we are, in a sense, setting ourselves, you know, with God being in opposition to us. So we're doing something in our lives that will cause God actually to oppose us, okay? Now, he still loves us. You're still his child. But we're not doing what he wants. Another example I thought of, and I met with Butch this week, and we talked about the message and all that. It was really, really good. And we talked about this example. I said, is it like this? And he was like, yeah, it's a perfect example. When we have our little girls at home, two of them are speakers. One of them, she's learning. She doesn't say a whole lot yet, so I'm not going to incriminate who it was. But anyway, it could be either one, okay? But if I'm at home, I love my girls. They're beautiful. They're sweet lots of times, you know. They're wonderful little children. I'd give anything for them, okay? But we're here in the living room, wherever we are, and if one of them starts sassy and being disrespectful to mom, It is on. Because this is not okay. I will be opposed to her the entire time. It will never be okay. That's one of my favorite father phrases. This will never be okay. Okay? Never. Okay? And this is a perfect example because I'm opposed to her. When she's acting like that, it is not okay. I will be in her face. We will be dealing with this. Okay? But it doesn't mean I don't love her with all my heart. Okay? But it's just that action, you know, it can't be. We can't continue. Okay? So, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's where we want to be. That's where he wants us to be. He wants us to be in that position of being in his grace, of having a humble heart, being humble with others, humble before him, and walking in his favor. And that's what this grace means, favor, or favorable attitude towards someone or something. Gives grace to the humble. Favor, a favorable attitude towards someone or something. Goodwill. The humble could also be humble in spirit. We're humble in spirit. Okay? So God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We want to be walking in that grace, and we can. This next part is a big key. Verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." In verse 6 here, right at the beginning, it gives a big key. When we are admonished to humble ourselves, he tells us, God speaking through Peter is telling us to humble ourselves. Just like, you know, I put on that vest a while ago as a symbol of being clothed with humility, we can humble ourselves before him. I thought of the phrase that you can fall on the rock or the rock will fall on you. I mentioned this idea to Butch about, you know, it's a lot easier, I said, I think, for us to humble ourselves than to be humbled. And he reminded me of, he said, Henry Blackaby, he's the man that wrote the Experiencing God course and all that, said, you can humble yourself or be humiliated. I thought, wow, well, that's one way to put it, I guess, okay? But he says we can humble ourselves. And this humble, too, is making ourselves low, being humble in spirit. And I thought of this, too, in relation to, you know, sometimes when you see an old movie, well, it's not always old, but usually the setting is old, and somebody is coming under the leadership of another, or they're being subject to somebody else, you know, either somebody they want to be subject to, or sometimes in a movie, somebody they don't want to be subject to. But what do they often do, you know? Can you see, like, you're about to be knighted or something like this, okay? They're saying, I'm submitting to you. Okay, I'm under your leadership now. This is what this is like. Humbling ourselves, making ourselves low or humble, humble in spirit. We can choose that, to do that. It says to humble ourselves before him. We'll talk more about that in a minute. It says, humble yourselves, therefore. And we just talked about God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So that's kind of what's going on here. Humble yourselves, therefore. In other words, you know, it'd be kind of crazy to walk in that up with God opposing us like that. Okay, we don't want to do that. We want to have his favor. We want to be under his, humble ourselves under his mighty hand. Place ourselves under God's authority and strength. Under his mighty hand, placing ourselves under God's authority and strength. That's what we need. We can't do this thing called life on our own. Not well, not to make it long-term, filled with any amount of joy or peace or life on the inside. We need him. We need him every day. So we want to humble ourselves before him. And then there's a divine promise here. Humble yourselves, therefore, into God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. That due time can also mean the right time, or the proper time. And note there's a contrast there too. When we humble ourselves, we put ourselves down low, God lifts us up. We humble ourselves, but God lifts us up. This lifting up, when I was looking into that, it means, you know, simply, just naturally it means to elevate or raise up, but figuratively, it's speaking of spiritual uplifting or revival. Spiritual uplifting or revival. How many of us here, you know, you'd say, man, I could use a spiritual uplifting. I could use a spiritual revival in my heart. You know, I feel dry. I've heard of the Sahara Desert. That looks like a wet place compared to me. I feel dry, you know, desiccated, just like dry as a bone kind of deal, okay? Well, this gives us a hint here about humbling ourselves before the Lord and being revived on the inside. We're giving ourselves over to Him, humbling ourselves before Him. So that's a little clue for us. I was thinking of humility, too, as I was studying this week, some different points, some different places, and places being Starbucks and Whataburger, my favorite places to study. But anyway, and I was sitting there myself after going over this, a lot of words and this and that, and I was thinking, this humility is a big deal. And I thought, why is this such a big deal? You know, I mean, I've thought about this before, but it was just hitting me. It's humble is like all over this, humble humility and all this. And I thought, isn't that what Jesus did for us? And I thought of Philippians 2, where it talks about, you know, encouraging us to have the same mindset or attitude as Christ did. And it goes into all that He did. He humbled Himself, even made Himself obedient to death on a cross. And then at the very end, it says basically God exalted Him to the highest place. In the kingdom of God, He's designed it somehow when that we humble ourselves, that He lifts up. And when we're proudful, when we're prideful or we're filled with pride, we're brought low. It's all over the scriptures in different ways. And so I don't know why it works that way in the kingdom of God, but that's the way it works in the kingdom of God. We want to humble ourselves before Him so that He will lift us up when he's ready. We want to ask for His revival in our own lives too. So I mentioned earlier, what are some ways we can humble ourselves before God? Okay, all stuff about being humble. Well, we've mentioned a few already. First one is being humble before others. You know, whether you're a younger person or just whoever, right? Walking in humility with others. I mentioned earlier there's a connection between our humility with one another and our humility before God. Definite correlation there, okay? When we are choosing to walk with humility, clothe ourselves with that with others, that's being humble before God. That's one way. Another way we can humble ourselves before God is spiritually humbling ourselves before Him. Kind of like I was mentioning a while ago about the revival type of issue there, okay? Just humbling ourselves before Him, knowing that He is God and not we ourselves, okay? There's a neat passage from Psalm 95 that's related to that too, okay? Knowing He is God, not we ourselves. That we're not in charge, we don't want to be in charge, okay? We want Him to be in charge of our lives, giving our lives over to Him every day, whatever way we need to. But there's a third way we can humble ourselves before God, and that's what's coming up next. This here, the last verse, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. There's a related passage in Philippians 4. It's Philippians 4 through 7. Great, super great passage about rejoicing in the Lord. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It talks about the peace of God, guarding your heart and mind, all this. This verse here, verse 7, 1 Peter 5, 7, to me is kind of the Cliff's Notes of the Philippians 4 passage, which is an awesome passage. So if you're interested in this, and I hope we are, check this passage out, Philippians 4, 4 to 7. But back here on verse 7, for cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Real quick, another translation of that verse says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. Give all your worries and cares to Him. Another version, version says, live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. I like that part, the end part there especially. Live carefree before Him. He is most careful with you. I want to talk about this word, cast. Cast. Usually, most of us don't use this word unless you're a big fisherman, like my friend Dave here, okay? But I don't usually think of the word cast, okay? But this cast is to throw upon, to put on. To throw upon, to put on, or to give up to God. To throw on, to put upon, to give up to God. I brought my handy-dandy quilt here, okay? Don't laugh, my granny made this, I believe, okay? My grandma made this for me, all right? You get to the third child, you forget who it came from exactly, okay? Anyway, so this is going to be cast on, to throw on, to put it on. That's cast, okay? And in Luke 19:35, there was a verse there where they put a blanket on a colt, basically, that Jesus was going to ride, so they cast it on there. That's the same idea, which says they threw it onto the colt, okay? Well, figuratively, for us, it's giving up to God, giving him our cares, our anxieties, our worries. This word care is also interesting, too, because we want to cast something. What do we want to cast over here? Our cares. This word is to be drawn in different directions. I thought that was really interesting. To be drawn in different directions. That which causes this is a care, especially an anxious care. To be drawn in different directions. Some of these cares that we have in our lives, they're pulling us apart. They're pulling us apart because they feel so heavy, and we're still carrying them because we haven't given them over to him yet, or not fully. Okay? They're just pulling us apart, taking us in different directions. But we want to cast our cares onto him. This is the best thing I saw here about the whole casting cares upon to him. It says to stop worrying and to put one's trust in someone. To stop worrying, to put one's trust in someone. To leave one's worries too. That sounds interesting too. To leave them, like put them, take off. This is my favorite one. To stop worrying and trust him completely. In the original language, it's kind of an idiom. To stop worrying and trust him completely. Stop worrying and trust him completely. I mentioned earlier that these cares are like being drawn in different directions, okay? There's also, when I was studying this, I thought of Mark 4. Mark 4 is one of the parable of the sower accounts, okay, in one of the Gospels. And the seed falls into earth, and some of it, you know, is taken away, and some of it, you know, grows quickly. And some of it, the third one, it starts to grow, but it gets choked. It gets choked out by life's worries and cares. Deceitfulness of wealth is one other thing it said. But one of them is the worries and cares. It gets choked. Some of these things are choking us. We want to learn to cast them on to him. And I want to talk also about the word all. That's a big word with three tiny letters, all. Because the injunction here, the exhortation for us, is to cast all of them onto him. And that's, I think, hard for us. Hard for us to do. Okay, sometimes we're like, throw some over there. I thought about bringing a hand towel, you know, it's kind of a partial deal. I thought about bringing a little baby washcloth that's this big, you know. I was going to bring you a new one, not the old one from Mia's age. But anyway, you know, parents get that. But anyway, casting it over there. But we want to throw all these things onto him. I do speech therapy for two different part-time speech therapy jobs. And this spring I was testing a child. I think he was a first grader. And we do a number of different kinds of tests. But for this one test, it was a language test. And it was testing some of the words that he knows. Okay, and some of the words that he knows how to use also. But anyway, for this particular test, use your imagination. You ready? Okay. Because I don't have a slide. This is perfect. You see those little rectangles there? We have, what, five sort of rectangles over there? Okay, right? Yes? All right. There were five animals. And I said, you see these animals? I went like that. I said, point to each one. And he went, pointed to the man, basically, the first one. And I said, okay. Below that, there were five fruits. And I said, you see these fruits right here? Point to each one. He went. And I said, okay. Thank you. Next question, because I can't give him any hints, right? Brian knows that, okay? Can't give him any hints, okay? But he didn't know. He did not know what each one meant, okay? And in kind of a similar way, I thought of this for us, because it says cast all our cares unto him. But sometimes we want to kind of give him the one or maybe several, okay? But not all. And related to this, too, I had a question for y'all here tonight. Because I think that for some of us here, that we give our cares over to him, you know, sort of sometimes. But for some of us, I think there's this one thing that we don't want to give over to him. There's one thing. I think for some of us, I don't know what it is, but you probably know. And God wants it. He wants you to give it over to Him. He wants you to give it over to Him. So if that's you, you know, maybe take this as God trying to speak to you, encourage you to let it go, okay? And it could be that, you know, you don't want to let go because, you know, you want to be in control. Or you can handle it. This came out when we were praying earlier that, you know, a lot of times we're like, oh, I can handle it. Man, I can do it, okay? Or you feel like you can handle it. Or maybe you are scared to death. Yeah, okay? Because it's terrifying you to think about letting that go. But I'm encouraging you to let it go. It's for your own good. It's for your own spiritual good. The Lord loves you. He cannot act towards you differently than loving you. And this is what He's calling us to do. And I know it's not always easy. I know that. But when I was preparing for this message this week, I felt like I needed to kind of focus on that for a little bit. Some of y'all, that's for you, okay? What's that one thing? Let's go on to the next little part here. Talking about casting all our cares onto Him, okay? Real quick, I want to stop where it says, I have it in my here, you don't have it on your part yet. It says, how do we cast our cares on Him? So my question is, how do we do this? So let's say, for example, let's just take an average thing. Okay, let's not take the one thing. Like, there's one thing big on your brain that's really heavy, you're hard to let go of that one thing, okay? Let's just take an average care, an average everyday care, okay? Could be about something that happens at work. Could be about your finances. Could be about your school if you're, you know, taking classes. It could be about a relationship. It could be about a sick, you know, person, a health issue. Okay, whatever, an average care, okay? So what we want to do, how do we cast our cares onto Him? By prayer. And I wrote this, stop, drop, and pray. Okay? Real simple. Okay, that's how I think. Okay? Stop, drop, and pray. All right? So here's an example. A few weeks ago, I was at work. And this particular day at work, on Fridays, usually I don't have too many meetings, and I'm supposed to get all my other stuff done, supposedly. Okay? Well, that day I was going to work, and I was like, yes, today's going to be a great day. I don't have too many things I have to do. I'm going to get all these other things done. Man, it's going to be great. Okay, this is towards the end of the school year, okay? And then that morning, boom, this other thing came. I was like, oh, man, I got to do that now, too. A new thing came that day. And then 30 minutes later, you know, boom, something else came. And I was like, great, you know, oh, my gosh, so I was going to get all this other stuff done. Well, I started working on these things. And I felt myself kind of, you know, getting a little more stressed out there and a little more and a little more. All of a sudden, I realized, man, I am stressed out about this. I thought this was going to be a great day. And all this stuff just kind of gone, boom, piled up on me. And I was like, aha, I know what to do. I remember, you know. And it wasn't just because I've been thinking about this, because this is what I do, okay? But I remember this verse. I go to this verse when I'm in a hurry, Philippians 4, if I have a little more time, okay? But basically, I just spent a few minutes. My door was shut. My door in my little office is usually shut, but anyway, I would have shut it if it wasn't shut. And I just spent some time giving it over to the Lord. And it's just like, God, you know, I give this to You right now. I'm feeling stressed out about this stuff. I wasn't expecting this. I'm feeling stressed about it, but I give it to You. You're in charge. You're in charge of this stuff. You knew this was going to happen, Lord. I'm asking for Your help. I need Your help. I can't do this. I can't do this. I need Your help, God. I want to give it to You right now in prayer. Will You help me, Lord? I am weak, but You're strong, God. Give it to You, Lord. And that particular day, I remember as I was praying, this one particular point, there was a time where I kind of turned the corner and I just started worshiping the Lord a little bit. Well, that helps with your cares a lot. Yeah, you start worshiping Him. And I just started worshiping. Instead of even praying about that care, I was just worshiping Him, just loving Him, you know, for who He is and just praising Him for who He is and just the things He has done in my life. And all of a sudden, when I was starting to worship Him too, I could feel that peace starting to come and the cares starting to drift away. So that's just a little example about giving our cares over to Him, just a real practical ways. And you frequently will sense the peace of Christ when you do this. And that's related to Philippians 4:7, like I mentioned that passage a few times too, okay? Also, some of y'all, when you're driving down the road, if your check engine light comes on, some of y'all don't worry about it. I just saw a young lady, she like, I can see her face, she doesn't do this, okay? What you're supposed to do, is check your engine or like stop, do something, call somebody, do something, okay? Don't just keep going. In the same way, when you feel that stress or that anxiety or that fear, you know, thing that just kind of comes upon you, boom, and you're like, like that, you know? It's like your check engine light spiritually. We need to give it to Him. We need to hand it over to Him, to cast it onto Him, to give it completely to Him and trust Him. Okay? And I know sometimes it's hard, but let's do it. If you've never, you know, kind of done that sort of, just go for it. Go for it. Also, what you can do, and I've done this before, this is a lot of fun too, is get somebody to pray with you. You have to be a little humble, okay? That's not a problem. Get them to pray with you, okay? That's a great blessing too. All right. So casting our cares on Him, how do we do it? Stop, drop, and pray. We want to do this too. God kind of gave another divine reason here, okay? Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. He cares for you. This kind of care is not a worry or anxiety, right? It's a devotion. This care, He cares for you, signifies that something is an object of care. Something, in this case, us, are objects of care, of His care, especially the care of forethought and interest rather than anxiety. Especially the care of forethought and interest rather than anxiety, okay? So basically my point here is that He cares for you. He says it right here. And some of y'all are thinking, yeah, I know that. Some of us don't. Or we might know it like in our head, but you know, you hear me right now and I don't know if it doesn't sink in or it's trying to sink in. You're like, oh, I don't know, okay. He cares for you. He cares for each one of us. And I felt like this was an important point tonight for, I don't know who, but a number of people. Because He cares for you. Have you ever seen somebody, like, you know, they're a real nice person and all that, but if you kind of get close to them and you're like giving them a compliment, like a sincere compliment, you know, and they're like, you know, they're kind of squirmy, okay, because it's hard for them to receive that. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? Please nod your heads. At least pretend. Okay? Yes. Okay. Some of us, we're kind of like this with the whole topic of God loving you. That He cares for you. Because we kind of do a little dance. We're like, But He does. He does. He cares for each of us. I like to tell my little girls, one of them in particular, she says, I know, you love me with all your heart, okay? And she's heard that so many times, you know, and I mean it every time I say it, you know, and she does it, she kind of teases me about it now, okay? But He loves us all equally with the fullness of His love, everything He is, every day. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And I want to share briefly about, it was a dark time in my life. It was a number of years ago. I was about 22 because, you know, you might be thinking, you don't know, you know, what it's like, what I'm going through. Well, I don't know exactly what it's like or what you're going through exactly, but I want to share something. When I was about 22, I went through a real dark period of my life. I'd been going through a lot of stuff with my father and just a lot of kind of fatherhood type issues and realizing that 20 years before when my dad had divorced, left my mom and me and divorced and all this, how I realized 20 years later how much that had hurt me and all these things. I mean, I was just coming up with lists of stuff it felt like. But at the same time, God was working in my life too. And anyway, this is a very long story, but I'm trying to give you the Cliff Notes version, right? Basically, God brought me through all that, and I got actually really good reconciliation with Him, definitely healing in my heart, and it all ended up being really good, and God used it for good in other people's lives too, because I can share with them. But anyway, my point is, during this time, though, before I made it through the other side, I was in like a real dark season where I felt abandoned. I felt abandoned. I felt abandoned by my dad in different ways. I felt abandoned. I'd been dating this girl in college for about 2.5 years, and we broke up. I broke up with her, but it still hurt. All right, 2.5 years, it hurt. There's this guy that had been mentoring me for a couple years. And then we just kind of weren't spending time together as much anymore. Hardly ever saw him anymore. And different things happened in my life where I just ended up feeling kind of just abandoned on my own and kind of isolated and just, alone. And, I'm not, excited to say this, but eventually after several months of kind of feeling this way and not really making it through, eventually I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to take care of my own life now. And that's basically what I told God. I basically said, this isn't working, and somebody's got to look out for me. Basically, that's what I said. And in a lot of words, a lot like that. And so I was like, forget it, I mean, I was actually still going to church and all this, but in my heart, I was like, I'm taking care of me now. Because why? You're not doing it, okay? That's what I felt, okay? It was a real dark season. I'd stopped giving. I had given, financially, tithe, whatever, since I was 16, since like the day I earned any money. Okay, I stopped giving, and just other stuff I'm sure dropped off my life because I was just in a dark place too. But you know what I found out? That didn't work either. It definitely did not work for me to be taking care of myself. It didn't work. And eventually, God, through a couple circumstances and through a special verse from Psalm 139, broke into my life and basically told me that I wasn't abandoned, that he saw me, he saw what I was going through, he saw the hurts I was feeling. I wasn't abandoned, he saw, and that he cared. Not only that he saw and he cared, but that he was actively taking steps, being involved in my life to help. And there was another scripture, too, that came to me, too. Actually, it was about the Israelites from Egypt. But anyway, Psalm 139 had a verse, a little part of the second part of verse 3. It says, you are familiar with all my ways. Somebody encouraged me to start reading that psalm, and I started reading it, Psalm 139. And all of a sudden, boom, you are familiar with all my ways. God just spoke to me in a powerful way that he saw and he cared. It's like I just told you. That made a huge difference in my life. Had a huge breakthrough in that area of my life. Psalm 103 is another really good one about this kind of topic. Psalm 139, Psalm 103, it's a lot about his love for us. The Father's compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Talks about as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us, basically, okay? So if this is an area that's kind of hitting you right now, I would encourage you this week, begin looking at one of those psalms. They're powerful, okay? But eventually I learned that even these hard things were coming in my life, but it didn't mean that he had abandoned me, and it didn't mean that he didn't care, because he did care, and he began to show me that. So in a similar way, we have hard times and even suffering that comes, but it doesn't negate his care for us. So we never want to doubt his love and devotion to us. 1 John 3:1 also says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. That we should be called children of God. 1 John 3:1. Okay? So we're going to cast all our anxiety onto him because he cares. He cares for us. I'm going to close here in just a few minutes, and as I close here, too, I want to read from Psalm 95. Maybe Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verses 6 through 9. This is a psalm I came across as I was studying, and I thought of this verse, and I found it, and it was in this psalm. Psalm 95:6, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did the day at Massah in the desert. Psalm 95, starting with verse 6. Okay. So the call for us today, in a general sense for everybody, is humility. Whether, you know, we're older or younger, whatever our case is, our situation, you know, the nature of our role or who we are, the call is for humility, to clothe ourselves with humility with one another, remembering that God resists the proud. He's in opposition. Okay? He sets himself against. He gives grace, favor, goodwill to the humble. We want to remember to humble ourselves before him. We don't want to wait. Don't wait to be humbled. No, that's not a good idea. Let's humble ourselves before him. And specifically, too, by humbling ourselves before others and by just coming before him with our hearts. Remembering to cast all our anxiety, all of our cares, those things that pull us apart onto him, because he cares. He does care. In a moment, we're going to have a chance to pray. But before we pray, too, I want to share briefly about if you're here and you're like, I'm not sure, you know, what this guy's talking about very much. But basically, if you're here and you've never really had a relationship with God through Jesus, you're here, but maybe you're like me. I went to church, you know, my first 12 years. I didn't learn anything the church I was at my first 12 years. I mean, maybe it was me partially. I don't know. But I didn't learn anything really about knowing God, about knowing him. And I want to mention real quick, the other day I was at Whataburger, and I was leaving Whataburger. What was I getting? No, I was coming into Whataburger, and this car just pulled up, and there were four elderly people getting out of the car, and two of them had like a cane with like a four-prong deal, okay? Not a regular cane, but a kind of a special cane. And I was going in, I was hustling in, I was going to have a little snack and get working on the message for tonight, right? And going in, but I was like, whoa, here, well, I'm going to stop and open the door for these guys. So I'm holding the door open, and I look back over here, and this lady is, well, she's one of the ones with the cane, she's trying to get up the step. As she started up the step, she starts to go over it, and I was like, oh, you know, I was about to freak out. And I like rushed over there real fast and helped her up the little step there. And but I thought of tonight. I thought of right now. Why did I think of right now? The reason is because helping this lady, you know, that was a nice thing, right? A good thing, okay? Well, the challenge is why I thought of it right now is because some of us, you know, in our brains, we think that the way we get to know God, the way we get to heaven, is doing all the good stuff, basically. It's kind of like the old scales, you know, that your good outweighs your bad, basically. So I wanted to bring this up because, you know, I could do that kind of thing all day long. We should do these kind of things, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. We want to do these things, okay? Serve, love, okay? These kind of things. But that's not how we get to heaven. That's not how we know God. It's an evidence or fruit of knowing God. It can't be the evidence or fruit of knowing him, okay? But we only know God through Jesus, through admitting that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that we are sinners in need of grace, and believing that he is who he says he was and who the Bible says he was, the Son of God. And he died for us, but not only for us, for the sins of the whole world, but he did die for us. But after he was buried for 3 days, he rose again to conquer death and hell, so that we can know God and that we need to commit to him, you know, our lives, confess him as the Lord or the boss of our lives, and commit to follow him the rest of our lives. So as we have a response time in just a minute, if that's you, if, you know, you're hearing that and you're like, that's me, and I want to know God that way, you know, I'd love to talk with you and, you know, some elders here, just talk to somebody around here. You feel like, you know, they kind of know what's going on around here. Talk to somebody, okay? We want to share with you about how you can know God personally yourself, okay? And then everybody else, too, you know, whatever God is speaking to you, if you want to come up and pray for up here, if you're like me or somebody else to pray for you, you know, Barney's up here, Carl, somebody else to pray for you, we'd love to do that, okay? We want to respond. We want to be a church that not only hears, you know, the word of God, we want to do it and respond to what he's saying. So however he touches your heart and speaks to you, please respond. He loves you. It's for your own good. Y'all pray with me. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Father, for each person here. Thank you, Lord, that each person here is here for a reason. That each person here is something intentional in your plan tonight. Lord, I know that you're speaking to different people, telling them different things. God, I pray that we would have humble hearts to listen, to obey you, to respond. Lord, I pray for anybody here that when I said, you know, you might have a chip on your shoulder, if that's them, that they would humble themselves and be changed. I pray for all of us older people that we would be those examples. God, help us to be those examples for the younger people. Lord, help us this week to clothe ourselves with humility. And somebody, you know, we're interacting with somebody and sometimes it's hard to interact with them or it's kind of harsh or tense, whatever. Let us remember to clothe ourselves with humility, to think of them before ourselves. God, give us grace, even right now, today, right now, and this week, to cast all our anxieties, to throw them all onto you. Father, touch our hearts, Lord, not only our minds. Anybody here that when I said, you know, you don't quite truly believe that God loves you, touch our hearts. Let us know this in the deepest part on the inside. Change our lives, Lord. Wash over us with this lavish love. Fill us with your compassion and grace, Lord. We want to be fully yours. And for anybody here that doesn't know you, but they want to know you and walk in this relationship with you, I pray for a humble, willing heart. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Am I back on? I want to close with a passage I mentioned, Psalm 103. This is the beginning of Psalm 103. This is a great passage. I meditate on it over and over when I was in my early 20s. Psalm 103 says, the part of it, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." That's from Psalm 103. Amen. He loves us and we can trust him. God bless y'all.